Rabbi Jesse Horn, July 2nd, 2017, Tefillas Marvishus.
Good morning. Shalom Aleichem. Nice to see everyone. Friendly faces that I recognize and wonderful to see. I guess people who I don't recognize, also very nice to see, perhaps just slightly less, but it's been wonderful as well. I wanted to discuss the sugya of Marvishus. We'll start with the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chavav, which is source number one. So take a look inside. The Gemara says, "V'amar of Mari Breder of Huna Breder of Yirmiyah Bar Ava Amar of Yochanan." We'll translate that briefly as Rav Yochanan states, "Tov lo hispalel arvis mispalel b'shach rishtayim." And the Gemara continues, "Shayim mispal b'mincha." I'm sorry, "Shach dav mincha shtayim," etc. If a person misses davening Marv, if a person does not daven Marv, the halacha is they're supposed to daven tashlumin twice the next morning. Two times. The Rishonim are all bothered with a particular question. You'll see it already spelt out in four or five Rishonim. I'll ask it outside and we'll start to see their answers inside. The question is, if Mariv is really a Rishus, then, finish the question, there shouldn't be a makeup for something you didn't have to do in the first place. If Marv is optional and Tashlumin is a makeup, it's somewhat counterintuitive, perhaps even shocking, that there's a makeup for something that was optional. Must I daven Marv? No. You missed it, you better make up. How could you claim that I missed it, I better make up, if the whole thing in the first place wasn't obligatory, wasn't mandatory? And therefore, many Rishonim are bothered. If Mariv is a Rishos, how can there be Tashlumin for it? Let's take a look at some of the different sheetas. I'll try to share with you five different answers over the next 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes, that grapple with this question and answer this question. Let me start off, not chronologically in order, I'll start with the Ritva Jita Mekubetzes in source number 2. And the reason why I will start off with that sheeta, even the Tosfos lived before him and asked the question before these Rishonim had to ask the question, you really see how powerful the question is from the Ritva and Shita Mekubetzes. Let's take a look. Says Shita Mekubetzes and Ritva in source number 2. Perish Rav Yochanan. Lo nochis hashta lepluktas des tefilas arvis Rishos Elchova. Viktani milsa kemandam rechova. What's the answer that he suggested? What's the proposed answer? How did the Shita Mekubetzes and Ritva respond to this question? This Gemara, Rav Yochanan was only talking of Aliba Demanda Amar, Marav is a Rishos. Rav Yochanan was only talking according to the opinion that, pardon me, Marav is a Chova. Thank you. I misspoke. That Marav is a Chova. If you believe Marav is obligatory, and there's a big machlokas Amorayim, probably even Tanoim, if you believe Marav is a Chova, then this Gemara reads very smoothly. But if you believe Marav is a Rishus, apparently Marav being a Rishus is incompatible with there being a Tashlumin, and therefore this Gemara has to be going according only to some of the Amorayim, the Marav Chova Amorayim. Why do you see the power of the question from this particular shita and the school of thought in Rishonim? The question is so strong, it's unanswerable. This question has no answer. It has to be going according to opinion who rejects one of these principles. For example, Marav Rishus, and accepts Marav Chova. If Marav is Rishus, there can be no Tashlumin, period, end of story, according to this first group of Rishonim, the Shita Mekubetzes and Ritva. However, many Rishonim answer the question differently. Let's continue on with source number 3, answer number 2. Tosfos asks the same question, asks actually a second one, and then answers it. Let's see all three parts. Vim Tomer asks Tosfos. V'amar Rav Lakama, doesn't Rav say later on in Daf Chav Zayinim Abayis, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, and Kaimalon Kavase B'Yisurei? Doesn't Rav himself say Marvis Rishus, and we paskin like Rav when it comes to Isra V'Heter? Shmuel is the one we follow when it comes to Mamunus, but this is Isra V'Heter. Marv is a religious issue, not a monetary one. And therefore it's surprising, because if we follow Marv Rishos like we do, and we follow Tashlumin by Marv like we do, well, apparently Tosis doesn't spell it out, but there's an implied contradiction, an implied problem, the one we had earlier spoke out. Kasha number two says Tosfos, and that's indicated by the word Va'od. Kasha. The Amr Lakaman and Daflam and Amid Bez, the Gemara there spells out, Ta'avalo is followed Yalav Yavo Balaila. If a person doesn't say Yalav Yavo the night of Rosh Chodesh, Ein Machzir no so. One does not have to go back and repeat Shmon Esrei, even though during the day of Rosh Chodesh he would. Mishum, the Gemara explains why. The Ein Makashin as a Chodesh Balaila. Because the way they were Makadish the Chodesh, the way they sanctified the moon, the way they declared Rosh Chodesh, they did it only during the day. And since at night they would never be Makadish the Chodesh at night, presumably when they were Mataki the Shmon Esrei, they did not institute Yalav Yavo as an integral, necessary, Ma'akev component, like they did during the day. And if you left out Yalav Yavo during the day, it's a central, fundamental part. It's like you left out a critical part. But at night, they added it in, but not as something fundamental, critical, and necessary, not as something that's ma'aki, that without it, the whole Shmon Esrei is meaningless, presumably. And therefore, one does not have to go back and repeat Shmon Esrei the night of Rosh Chodesh after he missed Yalav Yavo. Tosfos and says, V'lama lei haitaima, typically, the Arvis, the Tfilas Arvis Rishos. There's a much better reason. If all of Tfilas Mariv is optional anyway, and you missed Yalav Yavo, that's a great reason why you shouldn't have to go back and repeat it, because you were never obligated in the first place. Why doesn't the Gemara give that answer? Why does that answer have problems? Apparently, if Marv was a real Rishus, as we believe it is, then this Gemara on Daf Lamed would make no sense, because the Gemara there seems to indicate that there's some other alternative reason why you would not have to go back, not because of Marv Rishus. So Tosis is really bothered by a stira. On the one hand, Marv is Rishus, on the other hand, is our Gemara about Tashlumin, and the second one Tosfos mentions as well, the Rosh Chodesh Gemara, which implies that Marv seems to be mandatory, at least not optional. Tosfos, after these two kashas, basically the same type of kasha twice, two different contradictions, one from Gemara X against Gemara Y, one from Gemara Z against Gemara Y, two Gemaras contradict the principle of Marv Rishus. Tosfos then answers V'yesh Lomar. People with me so far? Clear? Good. V'yesh Lomar ha-damrina tfilas arvis rishus ha-inu l'gabe mitzvah acheres v'hi overes. Da-azamrina tincha tfilas arvis mipaneha avalachirim elo levatla. Says Tosfos, Mariv Rishus is a misnomer. When we say it's optional, we really don't mean it's optional. There is a particular situation where it's optional. There is a particular case where it's Rishus, but most of the time it's actually obligatory. It's a misnomer. Mariv Rishus means when you're confronted by two mitzvos, choose the other mitzvah over Mariv. I like to joke around that I don't mean this in a sacrilegious way, but Mariv is the loser mitzvah. It always loses. If there are two different mitzvahs to choose from, which do you choose? The one that's not Marv. Just to give a little bit of perspective, if let's say you're confronted by two mitzvahs and you can only fulfill one and not the other one, so what's the rule? That's like an entire shiur in and of itself. When do you say Daraisas over Darabanans? When do you say Mitzvah Ha'overes? When do you say Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah? When do you say Tadr V'shen Tadr Tadr Kodem? There's many halachic principles that deal with situations where you're forced to prioritize one mitzvah over the other mitzvah, and therefore you have to open up that entire sugya. For every conflict when it comes to doing two mitzvahs, and you can only do one, except for Mariv, leave the Sfarim on the shelf, don't even look, just do the other mitzvah that's not Mariv, because Mariv is a quote-unquote Rishus in this particular narrow context. It loses to whatever other mitzvah we're talking about. Is Tosfos' answer clear? One more sec. Before I take around the questions, it's clear you just might not like it. We'll get there. Well, whatever we're dealing with, try best to clarify. What changes from Tosfos' question to his answer? What conceptual change was there in Tosfos' maskana that altered the conceptual model of his habamina. What changes? What?
Rishus.
Correct.
The definition.
The definition of rishus. And Tosis says habamina mar rishus means pshuta kimashma, it's totally optional. And in the maskana, Tosis rejects and says, no, marv is not totally optional, it's actually obligatory with an asterisk. It's mandatory unless there's a particular situation that becomes a loser mitzvah. And if it had to be masbir, this machlokes between the Rit Veshit Mugubetzes versus Tosfos, it'd be the same thing. According to the Rit Veshit Mugubetzes, marv rishus means strictly optional. And according to Tosfos, it means obligatory with an asterisk. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, if you want to just watch the ball game, or go for a walk, or go shopping at the mall, or pick up ice cream, opposed to davening marv, halacha l'maisa, Tosfos would never allow for that, while the Rit Veshit Mugubetzes would have no problem with it at all. So far, so good? Question?
One comment, one question. My comment is that in my yeshiva, they would have said, learn Musser, and you left time for doing both mitzvahs. That was like...
That may be a hashkafic point, and probably correct, but if let's just say halachically it's impossible,
right.
You have to deal with that, yeah.
But more substantively, what does Teshlumen mean here? Is Teshlumen saying, I couldn't do the mitzvah, and now I'm going to do the mitzvah? Or is it like a knas?
It's an excellent, excellent question. If we don't cover that within the next 25 minutes, I'm going to ask you to return to me. I'm planning on discussing that. I'm just going to try to stick with the order I prepared because I think it'll just come out more clear. But it's an excellent question. Yeah?
So, according to Tosfos, what is Tosfos Havas Tovim? What is the sheep that says?
Oh, it means both agree that it's obligatory. The question is, if you're confronted by two mitzvahs and you cannot do both of them, Marv Rishus means choose the mitzvah that's not Marv. Marv Chova would mean I open up the Sfarim and figure out use whatever halachic principles that Kultar Kula would dictate, and sometimes Marv may win, sometimes Marv may lose, opposed to Tefillas Marv Rishus, where it always loses.
Very narrow.
Correct, correct.
Points out that it's already another mitzvah that's Overis.
Correct.
So therefore, if it wasn't Overis, then it's...
Correct. It's going to be, it's going to be very, very narrow. It's going to have to be very creative to come up with a case where there's a real nafkamina. Maybe if you're in Germany, and, or you know, or Poland, or Northern Europe, where you know, where the nighttime is only 3 hours in the middle of the summer, and you got two options: be mesameach chas mekal or daven marav. Who knows what? It's going to be very difficult to construct nafkaminas according to Tosfos. It's a very narrow machlokas. Correct? Yeah, 1-2.
The notion that calling it a long is a rishus sounds kind of inventive. I think to back that up.
Well, I guess the proper context would be it's a rishus in contrast to a chova, not a rishus in the classic sense of the word. But
question.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I think it's a little stronger, though. But you're right. Tosis, there's a reason why the Rishonim, the rest of the Rishonim, think Marv means rishus, and Tosis does have means rishus. And if it wouldn't be for two basic gemaras, it seems to contradict it. Tosis, I would have thought rishus means kipshuto as well. But you're 100% right. The most pashup shot in the word rishus is not the way Tosis understands it.
I find Joseph's second question to be a little bit puzzling.
Okay.
Because if the person's already taking the time to daven arvus and he misses Yalla V'Yevo, to say, oh, he doesn't have to repeat Shmon Esser,
that's an excellent point.
It's a little strange if he says,
one could
you
have.
You don't have to because you'd be saying Hashem's name again and saying brachos again in vain. And it's since the Rishos and.
Meaning, maybe one could have argued, once you've decided to daven Marv tonight, even though you had the option to or not to, once you've invested in it, once you made that decision, and you missed the Yalla V'Yevo, you have to do it the right way. I could have imagined such a svara. Tosfos clearly rejects it. If we do more research, we probably find others who do accept it. The point's an excellent one. I'm going to continue moving on with source number 4. Quoting the Bahag, the Rabbeinu Yonah offers another teretz, and the truth is there's different versions of what the Bahag said, or shitas and rishonim that are very similar to it. I'm going to skip down towards bold. And where he says, "V'tireitz behilchas gedolos zal da'afal gav de tefilas arvus rishus, kevan shemispalel osa kava alav chova." Historically speaking, originally it was a rishus. However, it got transformed into a chova. Now, the most simple read is: there's a discussion out there. Is this a communal transformation of marav or an individualistic one? In other words, is it all the Jews daven marv, so I don't have a choice? Or once I daven once, I kind of link in, I kind of like lock myself into it? There is a discussion about that. If anyone's interested, the Minchas HaShavuos has a great discussion about that. But From the simple read, it sounds like it's on the individual. Just like by Shachris, Mitzvilas Mincha, Ulafikach Keshetar Velo Hiskel Rosh Chosh Barvis, Hutzrech Gamke Latom, Ein Makachin, Mitat, Latam, sorry, Hutzrech Gamke Latam, Ein Makachin Asachorish, Elabayom, Shimlo, Kain, Hayelo Lachsul, Spal, Kavin Shakava, Alav Chova. Once you've transformed it into a Chova, for all intents and purposes, it's treated as a Chova. And therefore, missing Yalabayavo is not. You cannot say forget about it because of Marav Rishus. It's not really Rishus. You need some other reason, that of Ein Mekachin Es HaKodesh Balayla. You can't, therefore, once it gets transformed into an obligation, now you have to daven Tashlumin. You can't just say forget about it. Before I take your questions, and I'll do it momentarily, is this similar or dissimilar to Tosfos? What? Correct. In that sense, it's a little bit better. But is it conceptually, before is it similar or dissimilar? Is the approach similar or dissimilar?
Dissimilar.
I think both answers are right, so maybe it's a tricky question. I think it's a little bit of both. And I think it's similar insofar as that Marav Rishus is not what you would have thought. It's not just, hey, watch the ball game, go to the mall. In that sense, it's very similar. But you're right, it's dissimilar insofar as that Tosfos believed it was never optional, and according to the Bahag,
it wasn't transformed.
Exactly.
Well, then the Bahag isn't actually changing what Rishus meant.
Right, according to the Bahag, Rishus is an old nickname that when the kid grew up, he's still called Pudge, even though now he lost 80 pounds and he's a doctor. Still, it's an old nickname that kind of like stuck with it. That Marv is Rishus. It's not really Rishus, but it was once upon a time. One second. One, two, three. Sorry, I just had you in the first. Yeah.
When you were saying, you said if I daven it once, and I thought that the chazak has three times.
You're right. That's a great question. It seems to be from the Bahag, even though a chazakah would require, even though usually most times, if a person does something three times, that's what triggers the chazakah. Apparently from this Bahag, either he means three times and he's just a little bit evasive in his wording, or perhaps there's such a thing as a one-time chazaka, at least in the context of Marv. The point's an excellent one. Maybe at some point I'll have to look at the Bahag more clearly and figure out how this kicks in. But the simple reading of the Bahag is that there is a concept of a one-time chazaka. You daven Marv once, and you're stuck, unless it's some other halacha besides chazaka, in which case, what halacha is that? You're right, it's a little bit of a soft spot in the Bahag, which requires explanation. I don't plan discussing it properly, but I will admit that the point's excellent, too.
Yeah, the point is, the opinion that says that the Bahag is talking about like all the Jews accepted that Marv is now a Chovah.
You'll see when we read the Rambam, that'll be at least at first glance the Lashon of the Rambam, and others shouldn't have the same thing as well.
We work with Justin Bidion and talk about this
mass. Fair. Yeah.
By Minhag, there's at least one sheet that says that we have to follow Minhag because that's the din of Neder. Is it possible?
It could be, yeah.
Now, if that was true here, then you could have the weird situation in which Shachris is in charge of Rabbanah.
And Marv becomes.
And Marv is a Diorisa.
Yeah, that would be a wild conclusion, but could be. Based upon the Bahag, it could be once you daven once, it's a. It's like Mekabel Neder via actions, not via speech. It's a worthwhile possibility to think of as well.
You could be Matur Neder.
And. Again, yeah, correct. You'd have to really analyze this topic more properly than I'm going to get into it. I'm going to mention it briefly and kind of dodge the rest of these bullets. Let me hold on, man. So let me just move on to the next teretz, if that's okay. Teretz number four. We saw the Ritz Vashid de Gubetzes. We saw Tosus, and similar, but a little bit dissimilar, as the Bahag. You'll see the Shita of the Rav Yah. Unfortunately, it was not in the Bar Ilan. The Rav Yah has an entirely different approach towards it. Let me get the sheet of the Bar Ilan, give a little bit of perspective to it, and then we'll sit back and take all the questions before we move into the Rambam. Says the Rav Yah, and when you hear it, at least when I first heard it, I got very excited. The Rav Yah writes, if you miss Mariv, even though Mariv is a Rishus, of course there's Tashlumin. It's just that Tashlumin is a Rishus as well. In other words, if you miss Mariv, do you have to daven Tashlumin? No. If you miss Shachris, you're obligated to daven two minchas. If you miss Mincha, you're obligated to daven Tashlumin for that missed Mincha. If you miss Marv, because Marv itself was a rishus. That doesn't preclude it from having a tashlumin. It just means that the tashlumin itself is a rishus. Let me just kind of break down the sugya, I think the clearest conceptual way, and after I do this we'll take around the questions and then move on to where we're going. If you think about the opening kasha, and here's like I think a great brisker alumnish way of breaking it down, there are two fundamental assumptions to the opening kasha. Number one, Marav Rishus means strictly optional, and that's how it's presented today, halachically. And number two, therefore there can be no tashlumin on something that was strictly optional. If those two kashas, pardon me, if those two assumptions are true, you can run into some trouble. If Marav Rishus means totally optional, and tashlumin cannot exist on something optional, well then how in the world can there be tashlumin on Marav Rishus? Some of the Rishonim say the first assumption's wrong. Tosfos, the Bahag, they attack the first assumption and say, Rishus is either misleading, it's a misnomer, or it's no longer relevant, it's an old nickname, but Marav Rishus is not what it seems to be. Alternatively, you can say, Marav Rishus is strictly optional. But that doesn't prevent tashlumin. You can have a tashlumin on a Marav Rishus. That second assumption is what the Rav Yehuda rejects. And just to give you the conceptual spectrum, the Shita Mekubetzes and Ritzvah don't reject anything. They think both assumptions are sound. And now the question is, how do you handle this Gemara? If both of those assumptions are true, you reinterpret the Gemara to be a different opinion, or you say they're not true and you break down one of the assumptions. Tosis and the Bahag, the first one, the Rav Yehuda, the second one. Now I still want to discuss what the conceptual idea is of the Rav Yehuda and why the other Rishonim didn't like that idea. When I heard the Rav Yehuda, I got very excited. I'm like, that makes so much sense intuitively. Yet, for sure, the Ritva and Shitz Mekubetzes didn't like it, otherwise, presumably, they would have said it. And even Tosfos is unlikely to accept it, although you see it less clear from that. So far, just to recap one more time, take around the questions and move on, is that we've seen a serious question. If Marav is strictly optional, how can there be a makeup for something optional? The answer is either you misunderstood what optional means, or you misunderstood what a makeup means. Or you're right, and we're talking about a third shita. How are we doing so far? So good? Clear? Questions? Clarification questions? Attack questions? 1, 2, 3. Yeah?
Would the Bahag be saying that there's absolutely no difference between a mitzvah that's accepted by the community and one that's inherent?
It's an excellent question. According to the Bahag, we know that Marav is a chova enough that A, you're obligated to do every night, B, there's tashlumin, and C, you cannot get out of the Rosh Chodesh problem by saying Marav is Rishus. Would he say it's a complete chova? From the Bahag, I have no evidence otherwise, but your question will probably be more properly just when we get to the Rambam. 2. Yeah.
So, what would Rav Yehuda say with regards to the missing Yalavia Boadagas? Can you just say, Don Radichunas, right?
I'd imagine he's got a Gemara. He'd have to deal with that Gemara. And the truth is, the Ritva and Shitz Mekubetzes would also have to deal with that Gemara. Marav is a strict Rishus. They probably suggest what you had originally said earlier on, which is, once you've invested in Marav and you said, hey, I'm going to daven it, you may not be Chayev Lador, you know, Ad Nev Yeshrim. Tomorrow night you're not, but once you invested in Marav, you brought it upon yourself, it could be now you're obligated to daven Marav properly, and therefore Yalav Yavo, and if you're missing Yalav Yavo, you'd have to repeat, except for this other thing of Ein Makash Shechosh Balayla. I assume that's what the Ritva, Shitz Mekubetzes, and Rav Yehuda would say. It's speculative, because I didn't look the Shitas up yet, but I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just going to say, to me, the Bahag seems a lot more like the Shitas Mekubetzes than the Ritva. You know, he seems to be saying, Chov means Chova, Rishus means Rishus, it doesn't work, it can't be Chova. So I'm basically saying, Rishus just means Chova. It was Rishus, now it's Chova.
Right.
Right. So to me, it's not like Tosfos. It's some
foundation. I hear the point. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, but I also think, and that's why I said it's similar and dissimilar, I also think what he does is he makes the Gemara work according to Man De'amar Mar Rishus, which the Ritzvah...
But only by saying that Rishus means hope, right, today. In other words...
Fine, fair. You're right. It's more, you want to say it's more surely that way? I'll say
that. The Rabbi Yah is...
the language of the Gemara is the same when you're talking about missing Marav and Tashlumin for that.
Right.
And missing.
It's an excellent point.
And Tashlumin for that.
Right.
So I think we are all understanding that as Tashlumin being a chova. Right? You have to make it all.
I assume the answer is.
So the Rabbi Yom would have to be splitting it. Right? And saying if you miss Marav, you have the right to make it up. The Havamin of being. Because it's for sure, you can't make it up at all.
Yeah.
Whereas if you miss Shachris, right,
you have to make it up.
Yeah. But the Lashon is the same.
Right.
So that to me is a little bit
strange. Different. Yeah. The truth is, there's two answers to that question. The simple one I'll mention briefly. Then when we discuss the Lamdis, I think it'll become a lot clearer what the Rav Yah, why it's less problematic according to the Rav Yah. The simple shot is probably that's not our topic right now. When you work out Marav Shos, you work it out later on. I think there's a better answer. I think it's based on what we're about to say right now, which is the Lamdis. Hold on to it quickly. Yeah.
So on the Bahan's answer squarely addresses the Chodesh issue. Once I decided to daven Marav, I have to daven Marav, right? And
right.
If I had nothing for their answer, I would have had to do
correct.
So if you extract the parallel to the Tashlumin. The parallel is not as back and forth because it's not like I decided. Is the Rav Yehuda saying that the case of Tfilas Arvis Rishus is
once I daven
to daven Marav and then I chose not to?
I think it's once I daven Marav once in my life. From here I'm out. I'm locked in.
There's no mention of Chazaka or that idea in the Rav Yehuda. It's Kivin Shiva Spalalosa. How about Lo Chova? Since you decided to daven that Marav, it would seem to me that it has to be the parallel would be I decided to daven Marav and then I chose not to. I cover Lo Chova and then I decided not to.
I hear the point. The way I read the Bahag was that Kava Lov Chova meant from here on out and not only that one particular night.
Right. There's no
I guess we can
there's nothing there that says that.
It's assuming if it was already davened, so it can't right. be when he made the decision to daven. So it had to be to daven already.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Kevin
Shemis Palel Osa, what does that mean? Since you are davening it.
Once I'm davening
that, so you read that to me, you have to
be not daven Marav.
Correct, because you forgot Rosh Chodesh.
Then is he completely saying the Gemara
doesn't?
Then the Gemara about
Kavan Shemispalosa doesn't sound like Kavan Shehichlit Lispalosa. That's what I would anyhow. Okay, what's the logic for the Rav Yah, and why would other Rishonim disagree? And this is going to address your issue, and hopefully, maybe another one as well. What's the logic for the Rav Yah? Does the Rav Yah make sense? What assumption is he based upon? Why would someone disagree? Yeah?
The assumption that Tashlumin was wrong originally.
Correct. That was according to the Rav Yah, the Havamina thought Tashlumin was only for obligatory things. Turns out you misunderstood Tashlumin. Tashlumin is about optional things as well. Well, why would Tashlumin change? What two conceptual understandings of Tashlumin are there? So I'll raise a theoretical possibility. Or a little bit of a lumdisha possibility. There's an interesting machlokas rishonim. Let's say if a person misses shachris and now has to daven tashlumin for it. Where's the earliest time you can daven shachris? Pardon me, tashlumin for shachris. Let's just kind of review our times. The earliest
before.
What?
This is what you did a couple of times.
I touched upon it before once upon a time, correct. If a person shachris starts 6 a.m. or Basikin time, you can daven from Shachris until Chatzotz. At 12 o'clock at Chatzotz, you can no longer daven Shachris. Bidyav, Lichat Chilu, you should daven 4 hours until 10 o'clock. Bidyav until Chatzotz. If a person davens regularly, when's the first time you can daven Mincha? Mincha Gedolah, that's that? So theoretically, no one should ever be davening between 12 and 12:30 on the halachic clock. If you go to the Kotel every single day, you'd probably be able to give musa to at least a minion full of people. That having been said, halachically, one should not be davening between 12 and 12:30. Let's say a person misses shachris. When is the earliest time they can do tashlumin? So I can imagine two possibilities. Either when 12 o'clock from the end of Zman Shachris, or from 12:30, the earliest Zman Mincha. The explanation many Achronim give to this machlok is between Rashi and the Rajba. The Rajba means, says 12:30. Rashi holds from Chatzos and on. The explanation to this machlok is may very well be whether or not Tashlumin is a second mincha, pardon me, or a second chakras, or a second tefillah, or a later time slot. The marshal I like to give is you have a fifth grade kid who doesn't do his book report, walks into the teacher Monday morning and says, I did not do my book report. The teacher says, you got a zero. The kid starts crying. The teacher says, okay, I'll have Rachmanis on you. And she does one of two things. Either she extends the book report till Friday, he's got four more days to do the same assignment, or she says, you got a zero, but I'll give you extra credit. You hear the difference? If one would argue, Shachris, pardon me, you missed Shachris, but it's an extension to the earliest Shachris you can daven would be at. Yeah, this, you finish the old, this man, and it will just end, extend the soul's man, keep on davening. However, if it's not a set, it's not a later Shachris, rather it's a second mincha, as the Rashba claims it is, then the only appropriate time to daven would be? Exactly.
That seems a little random, because if you miss Shabbos, the tashlum is going to be chol.
So it's an excellent question. I'd imagine you can respond in one of two ways. I imagine the response would be, let me hold on to that question. Just give one or two more quick nafkamidas. We'll get back to it. Please don't allow me to forget. We'll give you two more quick ones. Hold on a second. Let's say tefillah for women. How many times are women obligated to daven every day? That's a whole shiur in and of itself. Many poskim say once. This is a discussion about musaf. Let's work with the Mishnah Brura Shita for one moment, which is women are obligated to daven Shachris and Mincha. Let's say when we miss a Shachris. That's a very easy question. What's the halakha? Davin Tashlum and two Minchas. No problem. Here's what gets tricky. Let's say a woman misses Mincha. If you had to throw out a potential Psak halakha, I think there are four different potential halachic conclusions to draw. What's the halakha l'maaseh? If a woman misses Mincha, what would the options be? No, what? No Tashlumin at all? Alternatively, two chakrases. Alternatively, two marivs or one mariv. Four different possibilities how to handle that situation. Why would you say there's no tashlumin? Because maybe tashlumin is only for people who are obligated in the next upcoming. Maybe. Why would you say two chakrases?
Maybe
because just like a man has three and you go to his next tefillah, so maybe a woman has two and you go to. Okay, interesting suggestions. The following two are accepted halacha l'maaseh by Rov Poskim. Many Poskim say she should daven one marv. The Mishnah Berurah himself says she should daven two marvs. Why would you say one marv? Why would you say two? So if it's an extension, she missed mincha, then what does she do? It's just now she has more time to do so many marvs, would she have to daven
one marv?
However, if it's a second chance, if it's not an extension, but it's a second shachris or a second mincha, so how does a woman have a second marav only after?
First.
Exactly.
Does the Baha then obligate her in Arvis going forward?
Don't know. I would imagine not, but I hear this far. I don't know. The Baha died. I don't know. He was in distress. But maybe. But you see that there are two conceptual models of tashlumin. One more sec. If this is true, which one does the Rav Yah seem to subscribe to? What? I think so. According to the Rav Yah, if last night Mariv was a Rishus, I can have that just spill over to the morning, and in the morning it'll also be a Rishus. I think that's the conceptual model that the Rav Yah subscribes to. Last night Mariv was a Rishus. I did have to. I didn't have to. I could have if I wanted to. Didn't have to, but I could have, and therefore if I missed it, so just like missing a Shachris, this is your question, and just like missing a Mincha, the Tefillah carries over the way it is. It happens to be Marv has a different nature. But that's just a technical point. And therefore if you miss Mincha, which was obligatory, now you have an obligatory Tashlumin. If you miss Shachris, which was optional, now you have an optional Tashlumin. And that explains the language point. And I think addresses your question about how Tashlumin works as well. If this is true, what did the Ritva and Shizmukubet says dislike? Perhaps they felt It's not just a extension, it's a second chakras, and is incompatible. It's impossible to argue. If Mariv is a reshus, that when you miss it, it becomes an obligatory chakras, that's crazy. And therefore, they would conclude that makes no sense and reject the Rabbi Yossi's suggestion, and therefore learn the Gemara to be a Liba Demanda Amar, Mariv is a Chova. Should I say that again? Is that clear?
Go over again.
I'll do it again. And I got to get back to your question also. The Rav Yoz answer makes all the sense in the world if you assume that Tashlumin is an extension of the previous tefillah. Just like I miss Shachas, now I daven Mincha, and a second Shachas, and a later Shachas. If I miss Mincha, now I daven Marv, and a later Mincha. If I miss Mariv, so tomorrow morning I have an option to daven Mariv b'Tashlumin. But just like Marv last night was optional, so to the next morning it's optional. It retains its identity, it retains its nature. And that's why he writes, Mariv is compatible with Tashlumin. Just because it's optional doesn't mean that you can't have a Tashlumin. Makes a lot of sense if Tashlumin means an extension. However, if Tashlumin doesn't mean an extension, it means you missed it, game over. Now you have two of the next tefillah. Well, it's very difficult to argue that Mariv was a reshus. I missed it, which was fine, and that becomes an obligatory chakras? Strange. Very difficult to imagine. And that's why many Rishonim may reject the Rav Yoh.
Why are you saying it's obligatory?
Because once it becomes a chakras, chakras is now obligatory. In other words, if Tashlumin means you missed Mariv, game over. Now daven two chakras is... It shouldn't be that there's an obligatory tashlumin for shachris on a optional marav that I missed. It just seems to be that doesn't seem to work together. And that may be why the Rishonim disagree with the Rav Yoh. We'll take, one, two. What do you got?
Shouldn't the extension folks say that it's daven the prior tefillah, not the tefillah of the new time period, if it's just an extension?
Say what?
Or shouldn't be daven marav? If we're doing is extending the time period,
so chakras.
You daven Mariv in the morning because what we've given.
Yeah, you're doing both. You daven chakras in the morning and Mariv. You daven chakras in the morning and Mariv.
That's exactly that. You daven two tefillah chakras.
That's this machlo. I don't know. That's meaning what text you say?
What text?
So I don't know. If this gentleman may think that point even stronger. Let's talk about you miss Saturday afternoon mincha.
Exactly.
And you daven two Marivs. Let me just go back and forth what I think. Let's say a person misses chakras Shabbos morning. You miss Yismach Moshe. What mincha do you daven? You daven atarcha, that's the mincha. What did you do for Tashlumin? Another atarcha, Yismach Moshe? It's machlokes gedol ha'achron. Which fits in exactly to what we're talking about. However, he points out correctly, if you miss mincha Saturday afternoon, you daven 2 weekday Shmon Esrei's of Mariv. How is that possible? Doesn't that show that it's two Marivs and not extension of mincha? The answer that Achronim give, and it's a clever one, is that Mincha only has the Shabbos inserts if it's actually on
Shabbos.
Zman Shabbos. If you take a Shabbos Mincha, which is just really a Mincha that happens to be on Shabbos, and you daven it Saturday night, even though it's a later Mincha, the text of it is a weekday text because you're davening it during the weekday.
Say machlokes is what you say in benching, right? If you're benching after Shabbos is over,
presumably the same.
Maybe I'm not sure. I don't know machlokes you're referring to.
Which would say Rosh Chodesh discussions, right? Maybe not.
Maybe.
Starts, but it might be a relation back.
Maybe. I have to say. I'm thinking back.
Maybe not.
Same question, same halakha, you daven two Friday nights, and again, the answer is that, right, the answer is don't make the mistake and think that the weekday text is a weekday text and the Shabbos text is a Shabbos text. They're just tefillahs, and the time you daven them determines what text you say. It's more fluid than you would have imagined otherwise. Shitas HaRambam.
One more quick question?
Yes.
On Tashlumin. So thank you for the explanation so far.
You're welcome.
Is tefillah in a separate category? What I mean by that is, if you don't take a lulav,
yeah,
one day, no concept.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. The next one: where does the Torah allow for tashlumin? It's not only by tefillah. People talk about it, perhaps by kiddush, perhaps by sukkah, perhaps by kriyas shema, perhaps by
karbanos.
It's a good question as to the scope of tashlumin. We're going to have to leave that question for some time. That's not right now. Let's finish up with an unbelievable Rambam. Now, the truth is, you wouldn't have expected any less from the Rambam to put himself into an incredible jam, and you wouldn't have expected any less from Rav Chaim to pull the Rambam out and walk out gloriously victorious. So let's take a look. The Rambam in source number 5. I'm going to read a few Rambams together. Number 1. V'chein hiskinu she'adim falu tefila achas balayla. There's such a thing as called Maariv. I'm skipping down to the words bold. V'ein tefilas arvis chova ketefila shachar sumincha. Two observations to make. The first one is, if you had to choose between Maariv Hashos or Maariv Chova, which ones is the Rambam clearly not saying? He's not saying it's a Chova. He probably is a Rishos, but it's a very strange way of articulating Maariv Rishos. What? Maybe. Yeah. Although, maybe. Correct. At least at first glance, yeah. Then he continues. V'afal pichei nagu kol Yisroel b'chol mok mos moshvo seim l'spal el arbis v'kiblo alem ketivilas chova. Sounds much more like the Bahag in the end. It was a Rishos, but now it's much more similar to a Chova, although it's a little bit different than the Baha'i, because this is talking about a communal acceptance of the Baha'i. It's supposed to be an individualistic one. If I had to walk out, it's probably most similar to the Baha'i.
He also says it's Kitzbühel Chova, not Chova.
Correct, we'll get there. Excellent. Next one, Halacha Al, Perikav Halacha Tes. Now he talks about Tashlumin. Ketzad, Tavalo, Ispala Shachas, Vavrachat, Seyom, Ispala, Mincha Shtai. If you miss Shachas, what do? 2 Minchas. Rishon Tzvilas Mincha Vishniyat Tashlumin Tashachas. If a person mincha that misses mincha yidavin, 2 minchas. Tovelo hispal el arvis ad shalom el hashachar mispal shachar shtayim rishon hashachar v'shnei tashlum el arvis. How does the Rambam allow for tashlumin? What is most likely the answer? You don't know for sure, but why is there tashlumin for marv? Because it became a chov, just like the Bahag had laid out for us. And similarly, expect in Perek Yod Halacha Yod, if a person misses Yala V'Yava, what's the Halacha? In general, you have to go back and repeat, but take a look in Halacha Yod Aleph. B'medvam Amor, B'chol Shalmoy, B'shachas V'medcha Shal Rosh HaChodesh, Rosh Chodeshim. Aval Arvis Shal Rosh Chodesh, Imlo Hizker, Eino Chozer, why not? Because of Ein Mekach Nesachorish Balayla, and not because of Maariv Rishos, and that's why Chol HaMoed of Pesach and Sukkot, if you miss the Yalav Yavi, you have to repeat because Maariv now became a Chova. I would love to walk out of the Shia right now and see the Rambam works out perfectly like the Bahag, and therefore halachically all three conclusions believe it's accepted as a Chova. The problem is there are two major Rambams that disagree with this point. We're going to focus in on one, and we'll probably leave it at that. If anyone's interested, we'll talk about the other one. But I'm really using up my time, Baruch Hashem, wonderfully, but nonetheless using it up. Take a look at Halacha Yud Perek Vav. Perek Yud Halacha Vav. Mishin is stopping low in Mispalel, low in Mispalel, Eino Chozer in Mispalel. If a person doesn't know if they davened or not, what's the Halacha? Don't go back. Elim came mispalo tefila zu aldas shehi nedava, because you can always daven what's called a tefilas nedava. Tefilas nedava means you can daven a second, third, fifth, twelfth shachris, as long as you add something to each night. And therefore, if you're not sure, you could say, well, if I daven, then this is a nedava. And if I didn't daven, then this counts, like make it tonight, then this counts as a tefila. Shemrat ziyachal ispalo kol yom tefilas nedava yispalo, you can do it all day long if you want. Mishay omid b'tefila, this happens to me from time to time. V'nizkar shekvar hispalel. Never by shachris does this happen to me. I never put on tefillin to it. Oh my goodness, totally forgot. But a lot of times I'll be like davening a shkia mincha. Oh my goodness, I davened 2 o'clock today. Or a lot of times I'll be davening marv at 10:30 at night, and I'll be like, oh, I davened 6 p.m., like 5 hours ago. What's the halacha if that occurs? Posek afilu b'emtza bracha. Bracha to Hashem. Don't even continue the bracha. Stop on a dime. So far so good?
Or
if you
say continue as an
adult.
Yeah.
Oh. Vim haisat filas arvis. Eino. Posek shalom hispal os mitchila el al das sheinachom. He does, just by marv. The Rambam argues that since Mariv is not a chov, it's a rishus, you can be mitstarif a Mariv to a tefillas adava. You can transition right in. If you're in the middle of davening Mariv and you realize I davened earlier on, just switch and continue as a tefillas adava. That's okay. But you can't do that by shachris and mincha. What's the difference? Mariv is a, and so is nedavos, therefore they can become combined, they can be mitzarif one with the other. However, what? Shachas and mincha are considered tfilas chova and cannot be combined. The trouble is that until now the Rambam has been driving home the fact that Mariv was a chova, at least today it's treated as a chova. You can't just miss Mariv, and if you do, you daven tashlumin, etc., etc. Yet over here, Mariv seems to have the status of a rishus. That is the kash I'd like to address in my closing 5 to 7 minutes. See the kasha? 3 times the Rambam indicates it's been accepted as a chova. And then 1 time he says not so much, it's still a rishus. That's the kasha. Any suggestions? Yeah. Excellent. Good. Good. I think that's it. So I think Rav Chaim says exactly that. The Rambam. Correct. It's like Rav Chaim at his game. He's A, saying Tzvei Dinim, and B, he's making a Chetze Gavra Chilek. Let me explain. It's like everything you want a brisker to have in one fell swoop. Rav Chaim suggested, once upon a time, historically speaking, Mariv was a Rishos. That means I have the option to daven as Rishos, but not the obligation. Additionally, the tefillah itself, he calls a Cheftza Shal Rishos, but what it means is it's a, Cheftza is a funny word to talk about a tefillah because it's non-tangible, but it means the tefillah itself is a Rishos, and I am obligated, pardon me, and I am davening it as a Gavra of Rishos. I can daven it and don't have to. And when I daven Mariv, Mariv has a unique nature to it. The tefillah itself has a different halachic status, not just in terms of my obligation, but there are different halachas about it because it's a rishos. Says Rav Chaim, when it got transformed into a chova, perhaps the chova was only on the gavra, but not the chevza. That's his suggestion. I'll try to explain it, why I think that's true and bring proof to it. At first glance, it sounds brilliant, but counterintuitive. Like, why would the halacha make it that way? Let's see. Says Rav Chaim, maybe that tefillah itself retains its status as a tefillah shel rishus, a chefza shel rishus. It's just that I have to daven, I have a chova to daven a tefillah shel rishus. If that's true, if I miss, do I have the option just to go to the ball game or to the mall? No. No, why not? Because there's a chova on the gavra. If I miss Mariv, is there a din of tashlumin? Yes, why? Because I have to daven it, I can't just miss it. If I miss Yalav Yavo, does Tfilas Mariv allow me to get Mariv Rishus, Mariv being Rishus, let me off the hook? No, why? Because I have to daven it. You need some type of other thing of imikashas vashbalayma. Even though I have to daven it, nonetheless, the tefillah itself still retains what status? Rishus. And therefore, it can be mitzaref with what? A nedava. In other words, the chova is only on the gavra. I now have to daven it. But the tefillah itself still retains its original halachic status as rishus. And therefore, it can be combined with, it can be mitzarif to its tefillas rishus of tefillas nedava. You can kind of shift, transition one to the next. That's Rav Chaim's suggestion. When I first heard this Rav Chaim, I said, wow, what a brilliant, creative answer. That was my initial reaction. Then my second reaction was, why in the world would the Torah do that? Like, was God trying to play brisker, lumdisha games, knowing that one day Rav Chaim would come around and be able to have the apple? Like, it just sounds like a funny suggestion. Right? Chazal said, let's make up a tefillah.
And let's make it really, you know, like, let's make the Gavra, the Chefta, this, like, why would, like, it's strange, you can understand it, but, like, why anyone would have crafted it or constructed it is surprising. Why is it that way?
Wait, nobody crafted it. It's something that evolved later on.
Exactly, John. 100% right. When the Torah itself says Davin Shachris, it transforms the tefillah, it makes the tefillah to a tefillah's chozer. When the Torah says Davin Mincha, whether it's Hashem or the rabbis, whatever, the Mincha becomes obligatory. When the Torah made it a Rishus, but we ourselves started doing it, because it started from the bottom and not the top, because people started doing it, they only had the right to do what? Obligate themselves in doing it, but they can't transform the Chefetz HaMitzvah. They had no right to touch what? The halachic process. Who changes, determines, constructs, crafts, alters, whatever the halachic entities? I can't call this shtender a chefta de mitzvah. I can't make a chair a chefta de mitzvah. I can make myself use it every day for Torah learning. I can obligate myself to stand next to it. I can make a nedr and be near it. But transforming Mariv, the chefta of Mariv, from a reshus to a chova, that has to be done by the rabbis. That never occurred. And if you look carefully at the Rambam, it has to be finished what the Rambam means. Go back up to source 5, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav. Ve'ein tfilas arvis chova ketfila shachris umincha. It's not a real chova. Va'af apichein nahagu kol Yisrael. How did it become a chova? When nahagu kol Yisrael ben kiblua alayhem ketfilas chova. They accepted it upon themselves as a tefillas chova. Is it a chova or is it a reshus? The answer is? Probably even better, no. It's neither a full chova because the cheft is a reshus. It's neither a full reshus because there's a chova on the gavra. And that explains exactly why the Rambam says this tefillah is not a classic chova like other tefillos. Doesn't call it a chova, doesn't call it a reshus. Why not? Because that's exactly the conceptual model the Rambam has in mind. What the Rambam understood is along the lines of the Bahag, that we've accepted it upon ourselves as a chova. But getting back to the question I was asked a moment ago, if we turn it into a chova, does it have a full chova status? The Bahag? Probably, I'm not sure. According to the Rambam, no. Has a half chova status. Only in the Gavra, not in the Chavetza. Adkan. Have a wonderful day. If you have more questions, feel free to come over and ask. If I put people to the side or whatnot, I apologize. I wanted to just get to the end point within a reasonable amount of time. And have a wonderful day.
After the
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.